kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good.
さて、御霊の賜物にはいろいろの種類がありますが、御霊は同じ御霊です。奉仕にはいろいろの種類がありますが、主は同じ主です。働きにはいろいろの種類がありますが、神はすべての人の中ですべての働きをなさる同じ神です。しかし、皆の益となるために、おのおのに御霊の現れが与えられているのです。
Good morning. How are you doing? Good, good. Let's all stand up and greet our neighbors and bless them and say hi. And wow, it's good to see you, Gordon. Bless your neighbor. All right, settle down. So last week I spoke on being a servant of Christ. And this week I want to continue to talk about being a servant of Christ. And last week I talked about why we serve, how to serve, and what we serve. What's on the menu. And what I meant of what we serve is in terms of spiritual gifts. Just to give you a recap, why we serve is because we were created to serve. And serving is the road to greatness. I also talked about serving was what Jesus came to do. And becoming a servant is essentially becoming more like God, more like Jesus. And that is our goal, to become more and more like Him until the day we become in His image. And that, of course, that will only be in heaven. But while we're here on earth, that's a pursuit that we are all called to have. I said how we serve is we serve with a smile and we serve in love. And that's how we serve. But what we serve is just as important. Just like when we go to a restaurant and if you ask the server, you know, what do you recommend on the menu? And if you know nothing about the menu, then what happens? Are you like, wow, this is a great restaurant? Or are you more like, what kind of restaurant is this? And so it's important to know what we serve. I'll talk more about that later. Today I want to talk more about why we serve before we could get into what we serve. And so today I want to talk about the common good, the unity and diversity, and hopefully that will spring us into eagerly desiring to serve, or eagerly desiring the spiritual gift. Let me read the passage again. In 1 Corinthians 12 it says, "There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work." Verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, what I believe Paul is saying here for the common good is, it's important that we all serve in our spiritual gift. That each one of us were given a special spiritual gift in order for the common, for the good of the whole community. In fact, he says it here again in Ephesians 4:11. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Ephesians 4:11. Paul says again in talking about spiritual gifts. He says this in Ephesians 4:11 through 14. He says, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blow here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming." And so Paul is saying these gifts were given for one, unity, and for two, to become mature. To become fully mature. I'm not going to talk about the argument between whether the gifts exist or not, but I think it's clear that we have not become all mature in Christ. Is that fair to say? I'm going to stand here and say, I'm the only one mature in Christ. No, just kidding. I'm going to say, even I myself, I don't consider myself fully mature in Christ. And I don't know if you consider yourself fully mature in Christ. And if we're not fully mature in Christ, I believe the spiritual gifts are necessary for that. It is absolutely essential for it. I want to talk about the common good as the body of Christ thriving. I got to be honest, when I was working on this message, I was thinking in more of negative terms. I was thinking about the body of Christ atrophying, or the body of Christ paralyzed, or the body of Christ dying kind of thing. But the Lord showed me, no, say the body of Christ thriving and the body of Christ fully functional, because that's where we're going. Amen? That is what the Holy Spirit is doing and is going to complete. Amen. I believe that. The body of Christ striving, instead of us just surviving as a church, when we begin to operate in our giftings, we will begin to thrive, prosper, flourish, succeed, bloom, and as Scripture says, fully mature. When we begin to operate in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, in the way we're supposed to, serving and in love, the body of Christ will thrive. We will prosper. It's not whether we will survive or not, it's what are we going to do with all the blessing God has given us. We will need to know how to steward well. Proverbs 29:2 says this, "When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice." Let me say that again. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. I believe in Tucson, as we contend and as we fight for the presence of God to manifest itself, and as we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and as we grow in it, I believe we will thrive. And what does Scripture say when the righteous thrive? The people rejoice. Tucson will be a place of rejoicing. But if the righteous thrive, but if the wicked prosper, the people will groan. And so I believe it is absolutely essential that we seek and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's for the common good, it's for the good of each and every one of us here in church, but it's also for the good of those outside the church. It's good for those who aren't even believers. And when they're blessed, they're going to say, why are we so blessed? It must be because of these guys. What's so different about these guys? It must be because of Jesus. Again, it says this, going into because of the body, body of Christ becoming fully functional. Let me back up. I believe when we start thriving, it's also essential that we become fully functional. I was going to put you on the spot, but I won't. I'll be nice. I was going to ask, how many of you know your spiritual gifts? And, you know, probably like one or two. No, just kidding. But usually you go to a church and you ask, how many of you know your spiritual gifts? Not too many people will confidently say, yes, I know my spiritual gifts. Right? But Paul here in 1 Corinthians, he starts talking about spiritual gifts, and he brings the analogy that it's like body parts. Spiritual gifts are like body parts. It's like ears, eyes, nose. Now let me ask you, if you and if we make up the body of Christ, and if we don't know and if we're not functioning in the body of Christ, how devastating is that? As a body, what if only 10% of your body function? Even if only 50% of your body functions, how devastating is that? Most of you know, and I'm going to continue to tell you every week, I love basketball. And when I was young, I was pretty good. I know you guys don't believe me. I wish I had video to prove it and be like, look, I was really good. But when I was about 26, I messed up my right knee. I think I messed up my left knee. I was playing, it's so long ago now, I forgot. I used to be really fast and jump pretty high. Not that high, well anyways. I used to jump and run a lot. When I became 26, I my metabolism slowed down, and I was still eating the same amount I was eating when I was 22. So obviously I gained weight. One day as I was playing basketball, I landed and my knee just buckled. It just gave out on me. And I said, oh, whatever. And then the next play, I jumped and I fell, and then I just fell to the ground. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I rested it for 2 weeks, and then I started playing football. And when I played football, my knee just completely hyperextended. And that was the end of my basketball career. There was the millions gone down the drain. My NBA hopes were now gone. But I still love basketball, and so I still play. And eventually what happens when you're playing on a bad left knee, you overcompensate and your right knee gets bad. And so now today I have two bad knees. All that to say is, it's really hard for me to play basketball. And I still play because I love it, but it's really hard. The body of Christ, if we're not fully functional and we're in a war against the ruler of this world, how much harder is that? It is essential that we as a body become fully functional, knowing our gifting, knowing our calling, practicing it, eagerly desiring it, growing in it, and blessing others with it. Amen? It's so important that we become fully functional. And just to give another picture, it's like a child. It's like a baby. For some of you who've had children, you know how cute it is when, you know, your baby first starts crawling, or you know how cute it is when the baby can't, like, hold up its head and it's like, you know, they're babies. They're not fully developed. How cute would it be if it was 12 years old and it's still crawling and it still couldn't hold up its head? It wouldn't be cute anymore, right? There would be something very wrong with it. Just like in the body of Christ, it's kind of cute that we don't know our spiritual gifts to a point. But after a certain point, if we don't know what it is and we're not operating, it's not cute anymore. It's actually dysfunctional. It's a sign that something is wrong. And so I do want to encourage you, as we talk about spiritual gifts, that you would eagerly desire it. That you would seek it out. Not just say, oh God, if it's for me, then just it's for me. But no, I want you to actually go study it, practice it, seek it, ask God for it. I want you to continually be proactive about it. Paul says something else here. He says this, when he talks about spiritual gifts, it talks about unity. He says it in 1 Corinthians, he says it here in Ephesians. He says, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. Let me move down to where it says unity. It says, verse 12, to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Again, until we all reach unity in the faith. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, you're going to find out that it's a wide range of spiritual gifts. It's very diverse. And I guess the seduction is, you know, wanting the greater gifts or wanting the more spectacular gifts. But and there's nothing wrong with asking God about it. But where God has gifted you, it's important that you operate in that gift. Whether it's serving, whether it's giving, whether it's mercy, whether it's evangelizing, whether it's teaching, there's a number of different gifts. It's important that we all operate in that diversity. Because in diversity, it brings unity. And Paul says, you know, can the ear say because I'm not an eye, then, you know, I don't count for anything? Or can the eye say because I'm not a nose? They all serve a certain purpose. And unity is so important in the body of Christ. It really is. We don't all have to agree on everything, but to have unity is the key to bringing the kingdom of God. I mean, it's not like the magic key, but it is an essential key in bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. In John 17:20, Jesus prays for his disciples. And this is right about when he is about to go to heaven. This is towards the end of his ministry. And Jesus begins to pray for his disciples. And it's an important prayer. It's a long prayer. And let me just give you... man, this thing keeps going in and out. Let me just give you a part where he talks about unity. In John 17:20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Let me read that again. It says, in verse 23, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It's when we become completed in unity, then the world will know that the Father sent Jesus. Again, this unity according to Paul in Ephesians, let me read that again, verse 12, 4:12, it says, to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And so Jesus prays, Father, I want them to have unity. And then Paul teaches, it is these gifts that are essential for maturing to become fully like Christ and becoming united. And Paul also teaches that the diversity in these gifts will bring complete unity in the body. And what happens when the church becomes united? What happens when the church thrives? The people are blessed, amen? When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When we become united, then the world will know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That's why I believe in 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul talks about eagerly desiring spiritual gifts. He talks about not just passively accepting gifts, but seeking it out. Desire it. In fact, eagerly desire it. Don't just want it. Really, really want it. And as we seek it, and as I talk more about it, as we go through the weeks, and as we go through this series, as I talk about it, we're going to start practicing it. Amen. We're going to start prophesying, practicing it. We're going to start healing, practicing it. We're going to do what the Bible tells us to do. We're going to seek it. We're going to practice it. We're going to grow in it. I mean, you know, an infant doesn't run the first time it gets on its feet. It's going to crawl. It's going to stumble. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's okay. Because the benefits of it is absolutely worth it. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful for your death and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you have qualified us to enter into your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your Spirit here, and it's through your Spirit that you imparted in us spiritual gifts, that we could be your body, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, throughout these next few weeks, that you would give us revelation, Lord, of where we're gifted in. You would even give us impartation of gifts, Lord. We pray also that you would just allow us to supernaturally grow, Lord, in the gifts that you have given us. We pray, Father, that the righteous would thrive and the people would rejoice. We pray just as you pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be one, just as you were one with the Father, that we would be one with you, Lord. That we would have complete unity so that the world would know that, Jesus, you are Lord. Again, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.